Well, I greet you all in Jesus' name today. For the few of us that are here, it's a blessing, those that are here, that we can say we're healthy enough to be here. I guess I had varying opinions and thoughts about what Darren shared, but it's a blessing with that song to remember that we can remain in unity and work with each other when we have differing opinions about things. And it doesn't mean that we just brush off talking about controversial things or things that we have different opinions on, but that we just learn how to work with one another and to learn how to disagree on things. Just one thing that I thought might be worth pointing out about what Darren shared was just to keep in mind the possibility that Revelation was written after 70 AD, and that there's just a little bit of unknown things there. It's not something I've studied out recently, but if it was written after that, it seems like we should look for alternative options to it being only about Jerusalem. Just it seems like prophecies often have fulfillments, multiple fulfillments or fulfillments for different generations. I just thought I'd mention that, but I appreciate all the connections made to it being about Jerusalem. Excuse me. I guess why don't we open up in prayer? I guess we can stand again. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for this time that we're able to gather and remember your Son and the kingdom that we're striving to fight and live for today. We just pray that you give us strength. Just give us armor and your grace to fight for your kingdom and to strive for unity and the bond of peace, and that we could work together in the midst of all of our diversities and to be a light to this world, overcome all the darkness that we face around us. I just pray for your help to gather my thoughts and allow me to share something that's edifying to the body. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a related to the thoughts that I had to share. I guess first I'll say the thoughts that I have to share are about the vision for the church, our love for one another, and a song that came to mind was one I heard from the Ken Miller CD, and I thought I'd read the lyrics, and I've got them printed off, and we can sing it at the end. But I'll read through the lyrics. I really appreciate them. It says, "Heart with loving heart united, met to know God's holy will. Let his love in us ignited, more and more our spirits fill. He the head, we are his members, we reflect the light he is. He the master, we the brothers, he is ours and we are his. May we all so love each other and all selfish claims deny, that the brother for the brother will not hesitate to die. Even so our Lord has loved us, for our lives he shed his blood. Still he grieves and still he suffers when we mar the brotherhood. Since, O Lord, you have demanded that our lives your love should show, so we wait to be commanded forth into your world to go. Kindle in us love's compassion so that everyone may see in our fellowship the promise of the new humanity. Amen." So I had noticed a few verses and just our daily devotional readings that kept talking about the need for love for one another, and we talk about that topic often, but it was a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 3 that stuck out to me, 3:11-13. It says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." What had just stuck out was that our love for one another is the means by which we can establish our hearts blameless in holiness before God. And so I had tried to start gathering thoughts about that, and was led into thoughts about what are we here for as a church. And I was thinking, I tried to live out the faith in St. Louis for several years. I guess for those of you that don't know as much about my background, I was living there with a few other brothers, or two other brothers mostly, through most of that time. And we were primarily meeting just to evangelize with one another. It was, that was kind of what brought us together when we went out to share on the streets. And that was about the level of fellowship that we had, was a once a week meeting for that purpose, kind of a church. And I remember having this longing to have more power and substance to our message, that we would talk about this radical way that Jesus talks about. And I wanted people on the streets to be able to witness what this looks like, lived out, like people loving each other. And I wanted them to see what modest women and what obedient, like a loving family and children looks like. And I wanted them to be able to see a group of believers that was really walking together in unity. I wanted to be able to say to somebody, like, you don't believe this message of Jesus? Come see what it looks like. And so that was, you know, I really had that longing, and I was looking for brothers to come and share that common vision with. And I guess I just, and through various connections, I was blessed to find myself here, to meet brothers here, and I've been really glad to be part of this local body, and I've grown a lot spiritually and physically or practically, and it's been a blessing to be able to refer others here and to let them know that there are a group of believers trying to live this out. But still, when I look at these high callings in Scripture, I just think back to those first longings and wonder, like, are we there yet? Is that like, are we reaching the calling that Scripture gives us? And it seems like we've had a considerable amount of criticism. I don't mean that in a bad way, but when people ask us and challenge us, that's what I mean. When they ask, what is our vision for being together? Why are we here? Are we here just to hang out and have fellowship? What's our vision for our church? You know, it makes us think, how are we different than other mainstream churches? Do we come together for similar reasons to them? Do we get excited about the same things? And although I do have rebuttals to, had initial rebuttals to people that had challenged us in various ways, and I still think it's something that we do lack as a fellowship, as a strong vision together. There's a passage that I want to focus on in Ephesians, and it was the brothers in Texas were reading through Ephesians, and they've been they sort of turned me on to this to be looking at and studying out. So I want to read from Ephesians 4 to where I think I found the vision for the church, or what I believe God's vision is for the church. And so chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting, I guess, in verse 11. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The verse that I think really spells out the vision is verse 13, is that our purpose of coming together is that together collectively we would grow into a perfect man, the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. That each one of us are individual members and body parts of Christ, and our coming together collectively is the body. Like his representatives, as if Christ was still here on earth. And our goal as we come and meet together and our being together is collectively to be the fullness of Christ to this world. And this is a really serious calling. I thought to help us to help us in our thoughts for what this looks like, to think a little bit about what did Jesus do when he was here on earth? What was his physical body doing when he walked on the earth? There's some sort of summary verses that speak about this. They're fairly familiar passages, but how Peter says in chapter 10 of Acts that Jesus went about, it says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So from that, we see Jesus was going about doing good to people. In Luke 4, Jesus speaks, references the prophecy from Isaiah, how he says that the Spirit of the Lord was on him to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives. And so Jesus, when he was here, he was preaching, teaching, he was healing, and he was liberating and freeing people from their sins and from the devil. In Mark 10:45, Jesus says that he did not come to be served, but to serve. So Jesus, and his whole life is an obvious example of that, how he took very little time for his own bodily needs, but he was always serving others. And I thought another important thing that we see in Jesus' life was prayer. And one example is in Luke 6, right before he chooses the disciples, he continues all night in prayer to God. And we see that throughout his ministry, his devotion in that way. And so, you know, if these are the things that Jesus did, I want to ask ourselves, as his body, like, are we pressing and progressing into these things to emulate the things that Jesus was doing? And so that's the vision that I see for the church, and I have several points or sub-points to, I think, important ways in which we can get there. Point number one that I do feel is important, like the primary important thing, is that our personal devotion and surrender to the head, to Christ, on an individual level, on our family level, that we need to be devoted and listening to the head, and that's what's going to make a functional body, is if everyone's receiving signals from the same source. I have pondered this since my conversion. This might be a little bit off, not off topic, but If I've had this ongoing struggle, wondering that when we're all converted and we come to Christ and we're made new, and we're supposed to have a right heart, and we understand right and wrong, and we've read the scripture, we have an understanding like of what God wants out of our life. Why is it that if we get caught up in the business of life and our amount of devotional Bible reading and prayer time in the morning, when that is lessened or dwindled, that we begin to struggle throughout the day to walk well in the Spirit, and like our fleshly tendencies grow higher when we don't have that devotional time to God. But thinking of it in this light has really, really clicked and helped for me. We're just a body part, and when we wake up and try to do things on our own, that's not the way it's created to be. It's not the line of command. My position as a body part is to receive signals from the head, and so I'm just realizing that more and more, the importance of seeking God, just especially in the morning, and making sure that I'm attentive to the Spirit, like to walk in love, joy, and peace starting in the morning, that I can be a useful member to Christ throughout the day. And the scripture that I have relating to that would be what Jesus says in John 15, where he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches, and without me you can do nothing." So it's important for us to remain in him, to be reminded of his things, and through that we can produce fruit. So point number two that I'm beginning to see is very important, is that all of us understand that every member has a different function in the body of Christ, is that we become to be aware of what our role and position is, and that others have different roles. An example that I think we've faced in the history of this church is things that I've heard about the way that street preaching used to be perceived back with Monette, and perhaps continuing after, was I've heard a quote that was something like, if you weren't out preaching every week, you weren't really with it. That there was a lopsidedness to assuming that everybody's purpose in the body was to go from street preaching. And I think maybe the last couple years there's been a shift or an analyzing of it, and every brother trying to work out what is their way of outreaching, what is their way of serving Christ. And I think that's good, but we also I think it's important to be intentional, that if we decide that evangelism in one way isn't our gift or our gifting, that we're replacing it with something that is our gift, that is our purpose. So I went and wrote down the different gifts that Paul gives from the three different passages where he refers to him in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and also the Ephesians chapter that we just read. And I just thought I'd list them, and some of them I had some thoughts about how we as individual members can be like living them out here and try to encourage in those ways. First one that was in, I think, most of the list was prophecy, and I don't have much to say about that. Paul says that we should seek it, but I'm not sure that we are really having any examples of it at this point in our church. I tried to look into it a little bit to see whether anybody, like I've heard people say that it's just teaching or preaching from the scripture, but I just don't quite see that. It seems like there's other gifts that are just already, like there's other gifts for teaching, so I think that prophecy is something special, and it's something that God does through people. But anyway, so after that was serving, ministering, or helping. I think that the brothers here really thrive in this. I just really see that here, that there's people that are serving each other through repairs and construction and just helping each other in real practical ways like that, and cleaning for each other and just helping with taking care of children and doing dishes and hosting meetings and things of that nature. I just think there's a lot of areas for this. And those that really enjoy doing it, just that we would see that as a devotion to Christ and continue to do that. And I was thinking with that there could be more, just as an encouragement, that maybe we can be trying to find more ways in which serving others could be not just in serving others in the brotherhood, but I know there's instances of helping people, neighbors and widows and things of that nature, where the serving in that area could be, an outreach to those that are not believers. And I think it'd be really good if we could find more outreaches in that way. And that if somebody finds that get more people involved, that the load can be shared and that everyone can be able to have an outlet for serving. After that on the list, things like teaching and exhortation, encouragement. I think some of that happens like in a meeting like this, but it also just happens on a family level and teaching children and within small group meetings and things of that nature. Giving, whether that be giving our time, money, and resources, those are all ways in which we can be partaking and living out Christ's body. Showing mercy, reaching out to those that are in need, either with physical or spiritual needs. Two more that I'm not sure I have much to say on: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and then faith. And there's other, after that, healings, miracles, discernment of spirits, and I think maybe faith can go with these things, that people that have faith, that we can exercise that through our prayers, prayers for the brothers and prayers for those outside, and that we can see prayer as a ministry to the body and be encouraged to do it more. With languages, or in the scripture, it's usually translated as tongues, a gift of being able to speak in unknown languages. Whether it's a miraculous thing or whether it's brothers and sisters here that can speak other languages, I just encourage those that are learning Spanish, and I need to be more practiced in this, but those that are practicing it can, maybe work on translating messages or tracks into Spanish so they can be, practicing in that gift and also being able to get more information, the message out to people. There's also leading and administration, trying to help out when some people tend to do more leading, and if those that can handle that share the load from people that tend to lead more often. And then evangelists and pastors was the last two on my list. I think those that do still appreciate evangelism, that I know there has been a decline in the last year in this category, and Jesus spent a lot of his ministry out preaching and teaching the lost. He said they were like sheep without a shepherd. Those of us that do still think that this is an important calling in our life, that we need to be encouraging and spurring each other in that area. A scripture that I found related to this was from Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. starting at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever. So with all these gifts in mind, I just wanted to bring an encouragement to try to be thinking about the areas that we excel in and ways in which we can exercise it. Just like when you don't get out and get exercise, it just feels good to go out and to do something. Like a muscle is meant to be flexed. And so in areas where God has gifted us in, it's good to go out and work. And with all this, just to reiterate that these gifts are individual characteristics of Jesus and his ministry. These were all of these gifts that are given to the church, I believe, is just, if you put them all together, layered on top of each other, you'd get what Jesus looked like. And so in the individual giftings, we can see how did Jesus live this out and how can I try to be like that. And I had this thought this morning, how in the letters to the churches, Jesus has this frequent statement about, I know your works, and he says things like, to keep my works until the end. And I thought that's really fitting for this, that he's saying, like, to the church, keep my works, the works that I was doing when I was on the earth, I'm looking at you to continue the same work until I come back. So I thought that was kind of an edifying encouragement in that area. All right, then point number three is, is our assembly here in instances like this or throughout the week asking ourselves, why do we meet? Why are we here? I was thinking the assembly is a time in which all of the individual body parts come together and we see this really beautiful full composite picture. Kind of like if we were all part of the light spectrum, but coming together we can make this really bright white light. And that's the beauty of our coming together. In Hebrews 10:24 and 25, we're familiar. It's the primary verse that people use to say why we need to come together. But I think it speaks to this. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And I was thinking that considering one another in order to stir up love and good works, that what this could look like is when we understand our giftings and the areas that we're supposed to be serving Christ in, that when we meet, we can be asking each other those deep questions and encouraging one another in those spiritual services that we have. And how we can achieve this is being more intentional when we come together to try to avoid shallow, like how are you, and surface level conversations, but to try to really get deep in asking each other how we're doing spiritually and how did serving Christ look for you in the last week. Finding out what areas were we able to serve in the kingdom, and I mean that this in any ways that we were able to serve, and finding out areas of things that we're struggling and not able to overcome, or areas that we're working on. I'll have a few more thoughts about accountability in a minute. And I was thinking that how Ephesians 5 says that we're supposed to encourage one another, admonish one another, and psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and that's not just for the person that stands up here, but everyone that throughout the week we're reading and we're we have things that we're thinking on and facing, and that when we come together to try to make an effort to bring that to share with others, so that we can escape the mainstream way of doing church. And I know a lot of people here haven't experienced that, but it is a one-way street in mainstream church, where you just come and you sit down and you hear the person speaking and then you leave. But that church is something that's interactive, that you're coming to in order to give and to receive, and not just to receive. So in conclusion on that point, just wanted to bring that encouragement to be trying to get deeper in our conversations, that our meeting could truly be an edifying experience, and that I've just found this tendency in recent weeks, especially, or times of getting busy, where you're just coming because it's Sunday and not really coming with much to be able to give, just kind of like barely hanging in there, and you come and then you go, and then I just want to make more of an effort in day prior or something to think about what do I have to share with the brothers today, or I'm not sure if anyone can relate to that, but we'll try to guard against that passive way of having an assembly. Point number four, and the last point, is I want to think about areas of sickness in the body that will quench and stop this vision from being fulfilled. And this partly goes back to thinking about when we were challenged about the vision for our church, and thinking back over the last few years, I feel like our assembly has been under attack in a lot of different ways, and in some ways we have faced a lot of sickness, or we're a sick church, and I'm not saying that issues haven't been addressed as they've come, but we've had a lot of struggles to work through. And I was thinking, in relation to a body, it's very important that in order for a body to function properly, that members of the body will let the other members of the body know when there's a problem, when there's sickness. Like, pain signals are sent out from an area to let the body know, I need help over here. So it's just very important that we confess our faults to one another and share in areas that we're struggling so that they can be healed. The verse that says, when one member suffers, we all suffer. I generally take that to mean that we're supposed to mourn for one another, but I think it can be taken with a sort of double meaning, that when one member suffers, like, it will actually hurt and affect or infect the rest of the body too, like in the same way of the sin of Achan in the Old Testament or something like that. So if we love the body and we want to have a really flowing, working unity, we need to ask for help from one another and confess our struggles, so that the whole body can be whole and heal and healthy. Like another practical analogy is, like, if you were to cut an artery on a wrist or ankle or something, the rest of the body would know real fast, and whether it knew it or not, it will bleed out and it will kill the rest of the body if it's not stopped before it's too late. And so I know it's really easy to think that I feel this way when I'm struggling with something that I don't want others to know, and surely I can handle it and control it and overcome it. But like, if it becomes too bad of an infection, it's better to catch it when it's early, and that's why we're here together, to help each other out in those areas. And so like, an openness and vulnerability to one another, I think, is important for this goal, to achieve this vision. And also being better at asking deep questions to one another, I think, can also help kind of bring up issues earlier on. That's something I want to grow in, and just understanding and being better at asking good questions to each other to provoke deep thought, deep conversation. And another, from a different angle, that's not just, from a different angle that is sickness in the body is disunity in the body. And this could just be a symptom of one member not being perfectly in subjection to the head, not receiving signals from the head. Like that would obviously cause some confusion. But it's not always easy to tell whether that's the case, or, you know, to see who's in subjection to Christ and who's not. But somehow, through our bearing with one another and forgiving one another and trying to work things out in communication, we have to learn how to have that unity in the midst of the brothers and be content with different opinions and convictions. And just how disunity and unresolved strife will keep this vision of us being the body of Christ to this world. And I think the world can see that when there's disunity and big bickering and arguing amongst each other. I don't know what it is about our particular group, but it probably has something to do with, brothers have said, that we fought really hard to get out of where we came from through all the false doctrine and teachings to come to just these precious truths of the kingdom of God and the teachings of Jesus. But through all that, it ends up that we have a lot of brothers here with, we have strong opinions about our convictions, and I don't know if brothers have felt it, but sometimes when we know that there's going to be a controversial topic that comes up, sometimes whether it's in a meeting, an assembly, or if it's private at a brother's meeting, I just know that it shouldn't be that we have to brace ourselves for like heated conversations and things like that. And somehow we have to have that crucified before we can really thrive in this vision for being Christ's body on earth. It has to start here in our hearts, that we don't have and allow that harshness towards our brothers, but that love would overrule all that. And somehow I feel that it's related to this sort of undercurrent belief that maybe we could, in the same way we broke free from a previous thing, that maybe we could just break free from this and go do something else ourselves. But I believe that division should not be in our vocabulary like that, but we should be striving for that vision of unity in the body of Christ, and looking for ways through communication in the pursuit of the kingdom of God, that we would all come to unity and the bond of peace. Just thinking of that scripture, that bitterness, wrath, and anger, and evil speaking could be put away from us, that we could be kind to one another, forgiving one another, even as God forgave us through Christ. So those are the 4 points that I had to reaching our vision, like working back through them, that we'd be on guard against our divisions and things that cause disunity, that we could work against sickness, to fight against sickness, in the same way that immune system comes and attacks something when it comes in, that the rest of the body could be there for each other when we call for help and could respond quickly and keep infections out of the body. That we could continue to meet for the encouragement in each other's spiritual service to Christ, that we could be encouraged by our meeting together to be our member and to do it well, and that each and every day we'd individually be connected to Christ and hearing from our head. And I just want to ask that you all would join me, and it's not that we're all not already know these things or that we're not trying, but that we could really be pressing into this vision to be this light to the world, that we could gain that these high callings in Scripture and be able to point to people out in the street or point people out in the street and say, come and see what it looks like to see people walking in unity and loving one another. So I wanted to close with a little more from Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 1-6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. All right, God bless you. Maybe we'll sing this song. I'll pass it out, and then there can be a time for comments, corrections, and whatnot.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Daniel. I feel like I could really, really understand a lot of the things that you said, for sure. Just one of the things was just like this quick thing, like, oh, how are you? How you doing? Like this quick kind of response. And I've actually thought about that, how... Just like when you might say goodbye, just like, okay, God bless you. It's like this quick thing. It's kind of normal to say, oh, God bless you. And I thought about that, like, oh, just. But to really like tell a brother, okay, like Lord be with you. Hope you just grow in the Lord and be safe, you know, and just to really grow in that compassion. And just wake up in the morning and just have that. Just have that that readiness, like, okay, just need to be patient, pray, be focused on the Lord. And it's, and like, the contrary thing is that we get weary. And I think that's just being weary, maybe even in the winter time when things kind of slow down, it's easy to get weary. And a good verse that I think of that helps me out is, it says that Jesus spoke a parable to the end to teach that it's good for man to pray always and not to faint. And then he gave the parable of the woman who would, and the unjust judge, and that really helps me out. Just pray, just be patient, and but to still like strive for that love and to strive for that that sincerity, you know. And I think that's the thing about this life, is just exercising and just keep striving. And another thing you mentioned is how, or I've thought of, just it's so easy to get caught up in like our own routine and just our life. And I just thought recently, like, I don't want to live like that anymore. Just want to have more prayer time together, get together more, and just, yeah, and just may the Lord help us, and may we just, and I think I've realized more and more as time progresses that, like, I need Jesus. And I'm sure other brothers can say that too, that just, oh, we need the Spirit of Christ, and we need his grace. So thank you for the message.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I was thinking about conversation that I had with my brother, maybe it was a year or two ago, and we were talking about the fruits of a person's life, and Jesus says that a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. And I would think as a consequence, bad tree would probably produce a lot of pride. And I guess I was seeing representations of that in, like, I suppose one of two stories. It would be like, if the whole message was talking about being able to accept or receive help, or to be able to help somebody else that needed it, it takes a hand of humility on both sides, I would think, like one to receive and one to give. And I suppose this is like talking about when somebody's brain is not quite receiving proper messages, not cooperating with the rest of the body. And I remember I had my wisdom teeth taken out, and I was sedated pretty heavily. I didn't know what was going on, and I came to in the office, and the surgery was already over. And doctor told my mother not to let go of me. And so we walked out of the office. I still didn't really know what was going on. And she was like holding on to me really tight. And I was like, why are you holding me? And she was, I don't want you to fall. And I was like, I'm not going to fall. And so I pushed her away, and then like immediately I started to fall over. And so I thought about it. I was like, my brain was not figuring out the situation. And I suppose it could be like related to my dad's recent condition. And we tried to help him at the house, and for 3 or 4 days it was like having to take him to the bathroom and take him back to the bed, and we were kind of like lifting him, and it was like really a strain on your body. And by the third day, I would say he started like rejecting all any medication. He started spitting it out, getting rid of the food, and I'd ask him. I was like, "Do you need my help? Like, what do you want?" And he was pushing me away, and then he started to like hop from seat to seat to try to get to the bathroom, and he made it to one chair and like almost fell over, and like I think it was like kind of a shock to him because you could see his eyes got real wide, and it was kind of met with like cursing, and he wasn't I don't think he was just picking up on the situation that he was not well enough to do this by himself. And so I just think, like, if we get to that place, we don't feel like we're well enough, we kind of have to, I think we kind of have to retreat for a time and just recollect. And I guess being able to have helpful people around is one way to do that. God bless.
Yeah, I want to say thank you for what was shared in the opening. I had many thoughts, and I appreciated all the thoughts other brothers shared as well in the opening, and much to add, but it was thoughts. It was also very thought-provoking what Daniel shared, and the importance of getting a hold of some of these things. I have to wonder sometimes if Jesus requires that we forsake all everything for his sake, and this is part of, or maybe the whole of, being able to be a Christian. When we have this idea that we're something, Paul says that we're nothing. We're not where we ought to be yet. And I just think maybe in all of our minds we think, well, yeah, if the other person would maybe do his part a little better, things would go a little better. And it's difficult to die. This is a very, very difficult thing for us to do, is to die. But it's the only way. We cannot cheat in this area of being a Christian and not dying. It's just impossible. And so, yeah, I appreciate the different thoughts and encouragements. It's I know some of my weaknesses would be to be able to communicate, and being able to be asking those questions I should be asking, or maybe even not asking questions I should not be asking. That can happen too, quite a bit. And then also, with all that, we're always remembering that, yeah, there are differences in gifts. And when we take our gift and we abuse that against another brother that doesn't have that gift, we're really in a very wrong position. And it is woe to us. And so we have to be careful in all these areas. But at the same time, that we are like, I was just looking on down from Romans 12. Let love be genuine and hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. And then maybe 10 more. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. That's kind of what I felt from Daniel. That, let's be doing these things, and I really appreciate that. That's But it is outdoing one another and showing honor is another one of those big things that are just very difficult. And without death to our ourselves, I don't think we can obtain it. And we cannot be resurrected in these things. When we experience death, we can be resurrected. And when we don't experience death, we continue being ourselves, which is usually not all that pretty. And then rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. We heard about that. Patient in suffering. Being a Christian is just going to be suffering. There's people are not going to understand us properly, and unless we die, we won't survive. There's just this thing of having to surrender. A little thoughts on maybe a group of people here that have fought out of something, and that is to be considered, but it cannot be let go. It cannot be something that can thrive, because people cannot work together without surrendering to one another. That's just impossible. And so, anyway, then it goes on to bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. I guess many of these things I just would like to somehow be more immersed in that, and it comes through, again, I believe it comes through dying to ourselves, that we can live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If we do these things, we're on the track. But the difficulty is in obtaining these things. If it is possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Know if your enemy be hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. I just think we can immerse in this and much more, and the things we've heard, and my heart's desire is to be this different church that is just like Christ.